Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page. I'm Chuck Meraz. We're joined by the President and CEO of St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead, Mr. Mark Neff. Mark, welcome to the program.
Morning, Chuck. Thanks. Good to be here.
A lot of exciting doings over at your place. I know in particular that you just broke ground here not too long ago for a new medical services pavilion. If you would, tell me about that project.
Yeah, really exciting development for both the region and the medical center. But our new building project is going to be about an 81,000 square foot facility that will be used to house the St. Clair Medical Group. Basically, it's a replacement for the Cave Run Clinic building and the older Moorhead Clinic building. So we're excited to bring those two groups of physicians under one roof in a brand new state-of-the-art facility.
How did this all come about?
Well, we've been talking about the need to replace those facilities actually for a number of years. It's a very, very significant investment for the medical center. It's about a $26 million project, and finally, the timing was right for us to be able to do that. The medical center overall has paid out its debt for the previous major construction, which was the North building, actually completed back in 1995. And so we're in a position with a really low debt load to take on another project of this magnitude. And as we've partnered with those groups of physicians over the years, they certainly were instrumental in motivating us to improve facilities make them more appropriate to today. So we're real excited to be able to do it.
I was going to ask you about the funding for this. I know that people have probably read about rural hospitals in Kentucky are having a tough time right now. Some of this is due, quite frankly, to trying to meet some of the standards set forth by the new Affordable Care Act. And some of those regulations mean the hospitals have to spend a lot of money. I know that you spent, I guess, $1 million just upgrading your record system and making an electronic record system. So how do you afford something like this?
Well, a couple of tracks there. The electronic record process, which we've been in probably for the past 5 years, is probably closer to about a $7 million
investment. Oh,
really? Very expensive. But as part of the Affordable Care Act, there was funding available for all hospitals and physicians across the country. If they met certain standards over time, you could earn some of that funding back. So we invested about $7 million. We were able to recover over a four-year period about $4 million because of the standards that we met. And you have to document for the federal government, and then they give you that meaningful use dollar. So that was helpful in kind of helping us with that investment. Indeed, the Affordable Care Act has been a positive thing for St. Clair, as our total uninsured population has dropped, as it has statewide. So we do get paid a Medicaid rate now for lots of folks that previously came to us and had no insurance. So,
and you did have quite a few of those.
That's correct. You know, we had upwards of 10-11% of our patient population that was uninsured. So that change in federal policy and reimbursement certainly has helped us. And we've continued to grow over time, which is a positive thing. But in this case, this particular project, again, kind of a very creative financing process where funding is kind of coming from two sources. One is called New Market Tax Credits, and it's a fairly complicated program, but it's a federal program whereby the federal government gives tax credits to major banks in the country if they in turn make grants to worthy projects. And of course, we applied for that and were allowed to move forward as a worthy project in a underserved, economically kind of depressed area. So the New Market Tax Credits basically got us a grant of $7 million towards the total project cost of 26. And then the balance of funding, we have a loan through the USDA, the Department of Agriculture, that is focused on rural hospital facilities. So it's a 40-year loan at 3.1%, which it makes obviously very attractive. So putting those two financing pieces together, we were able to successfully move forward.
What's interesting to me is, you know, I've been here since late 1986, And I know that you came a couple of years after.
95,
yeah. So a few years after I came here. And it's been fascinating to me to watch the process of seeing the hospital grow and develop over the years and change and continue to add services.
Right, right. In our situation, being a regional facility, and it kind of differentiates us from a number of the other rural facilities that are really struggling right now. And I think part of that success over time is the breadth of services and our involvement in multi-counties. So we've grown geographically, and our continuum of care is not just hospital service. Hospital services are the most expensive, and we've seen, just like the university, lots of cuts from the federal government on hospital services, but we've grown ourselves in terms of physician services as we integrated the Moorhead Clinic, Cave Run Clinic into the organization, grown our home care, hospice, palliative care, family medical supply. So we have a wide range of services that allows us to tap a variety of markets and allows us to successfully stay afloat, so to speak.
Well, an example of what I'm thinking about was back in 1991. I needed to have an MRI on my back. And they said, well, you're going to have to go all the way to Lexington to get that done. And now you can stay right here in town in Moorhead to get that done. As a matter of fact, I had one of those done a few years ago in
Thank
Moorhead.
Thank you. That's well, correct.
You're welcome.
Right, right. That's correct. And we've added services, as you indicated, MRI services, actually, with the previously major construction project. In 95, the MRI was available here locally. And then more recently, we expanded our interventional cardiology services that historically, if you had a blockage, you'd have to be sent to on to Lexington for a stent or angioplasty. And now we do those every day, several hundred a year, which allows those services to be provided closer to home.
At this time, do you have some further plans on the drawing board? I guess there's always plans on the board, things that you'd like to do as you move forward.
Yeah, there's always something we need to do. We have a capital budget each year of roughly $5 million or so that replaces all kinds of different equipment. But in terms of major construction, we try to keep at least one thing kind of in the hopper. So we've already begun kind of looking forward to what's next. Actually, about a year and a half ago, we had that conversation with our board of what's the highest priority. And there were two kinds of high priorities that we presented to the board, and then a decision was made to move forward with the medical office building. The second priority, which we hope is next, is creation of additional private rooms in the hospital. we have some private rooms, but most of our rooms are semi-private, and in today's environment, most facilities are moving towards private rooms, both for patient comfort, but there are also a variety of treatment, infection control issues that are you're in better shape with private rooms. So that's probably the next major investment, probably creating an additional nursing unit or two with 25, 30 private rooms, and then we'd go back on our existing rooms and reconfigure the semi-privates into private. So that would be another investment. We typically think about $6, $7 million for each 30-bed unit. So that's the kind of capital dollars we'd be looking at. But we're beginning to think about how we might do that, where. The 1995 building was originally constructed to allow two more floors, so that's one option where we could add, say, a fifth or sixth floor on the 95 building and move forward with that initiative. So we hope we can do that before too long.
I was going to say, is there maybe an idea when you'd like to do it? Today.
Well, we'd like to do it today. Yeah. We got to get this project moving forward. As you indicated, we broke ground. The project should be complete by December of 2017, so not real long. So then we'll probably begin planning in earnest as we get a little closer to completion of this project.
And when we talk about this project, we'll go back to the Medical Services Sure. Pavilion building. You've just broken ground. You started a bit of the groundwork. Mm-hmm. As you drive by there, most people will be able to see what's kind of going on. But what's the timeline for this project?
Well, as I said, we'll complete in December of 2017, and there's obviously several phases. Right now, we're in the phase of reworking all the utilities that are underground.
So, well, that's a simple process.
Right. It's as they usually say, it's like spaghetti soup underneath that lot, because that used to be the corner of 2nd Street, so a lot of lines and things are running through there. So we have to replace and relocate those lines. So much of what you'll see over the next couple of months is not going to be real visible, a lot of things going on underground. But then we'll move into the major construction. You know, begin to see some steel work. It's going to be a three-story building. So you'll see the elevator tower come out, and then the steel followed by that moving inside, hopefully, once we get into winter.
Well, it's probably got to be exciting to go through this process, I have to believe.
It is. It is. I think it's a kind of gets everybody excited, you know, looking at brand new, shiny facilities. Physicians are very excited. They'll be much more, I think, convenient for patients. Those other buildings were designed 35, 40 years ago, very different. You know, we've crammed in all the electronic record and computers into all the rooms that were not designed for that need. So that will be dealt with as far as a new building. In addition to the physician offices, we'll have a variety of clinical services available to our patients, including imaging, X-ray, echo, that kind of thing. Laboratory services will be located in the building, and we'll also be relocating our outpatient oncology chemotherapy unit into that building, and actually right next to our oncologist office. So again, a variety of things to make things more convenient for the physicians as well as patients.
Good stuff. Exciting stuff, Mark.
Really exciting.
Thanks so much for being with us on Front Page.
We appreciate it. Thanks.
Mr. Mark Neff, he is the president and CEO of St. Clair Regional Medical Center here in Moorhead. My guest on the Front Page, I'm Chuck Meraz. We'll come back with more right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Moorhead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Moorhead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Can't keep up with local news and sports during your busy day? Let Moorhead State Public Radio update you on your world during our midday newscast. Whether you're in the office, the car, or on a lunch break, tune in to 90.3 FM every weekday at 12:06 for an in-depth look at news, sports, and weather. Don't let your busy lifestyle keep you from knowing what's going on around you. Tune in each weekday at 12:06 p.m. for MSPR's Midday Report.
Welcome back to today's Front Page. I'm Chuck Meraz. After hitting a record high of over 11,000 students a few years ago, Moorhead State University's enrollment has endured a three-year decline, and school officials are looking to reverse that trend. We spoke with Tim Rhodes, MSU's Interim Assistant Vice President of Enrollment Services, about the recent news that the university is working to recruit students from the now-closed St. Catherine College in Springfield by waiving its application fee, and about a change to the school's marketing strategy.
First of all, Tim, talk about the effort that Moorhead State is making to reach out to some of these displaced St. Catherine's College students.
Well, as soon as this came out over the news, our Director of Transition Services, Jen Timmerman, came up with this idea we should contact them right away. And so without being able to get their list of students, which of course is protected and the school can't hand them out or provide them to us, we have contacted some folks down there that we know. We've sent some publicity out over the TV and radio and just some flyers. And we've also contacted some faculty that we know there in certain departments, and trying to get the word to the students to let them know we want to help them. If we can provide their major, if we can help ease the transition, and if we can advise them, we'd be glad to help them and to enroll them and make sure they graduate on time.
You know, I mentioned to you earlier that Kentucky State has decided to go ahead and offer like $900 scholarships to those from St. Catharines that might be interested in transferring there, along with the waiver on the application fee. Is Morehead State considering anything similar there?
Yeah, well, we are waiving the application fee. And in cases where students qualify, we're offering some scholarships. We can't guarantee all of them, obviously, this late in the year. But those that qualify, and because of the extreme circumstances with them, we are offering scholarships, some of them pretty substantial.
Now, do you think that this could net a significant amount of students? Are there any expectations there?
We've been in contact with about 25 students so far, so that's really good. We've had 17 applicants who have used the code to waive their application fee. And then we've talked on the phone to approximately 18 students. Registrar's office has been in contact with some students. We've offered some scholarships to about four or five at this time. So it really is providing some students from Morehead State. And biggest thing is, I mean, it's helping both them and us. We'd love to have them here, but it's helping the students in a shocking way. You know, when you're headed toward graduation or your future, and then boom, the door is closed. We're able to help them also.
What about the fact that, of course, St. Catharines is a private school, and Morehead State's a public university? What about in terms of the ability to transfer credits?
Well, I think most of them is going to transfer without any problem. Their general ed courses, the courses that are in the majors that we have, there may be a few courses that either will not transfer or will transfer only as electives. But I don't think that's going to be an issue. Some of those students, of course, I think there's some deals with other schools where maybe that have similar programs that are maybe kind of outliers of the main curriculum, main what you'd think majors, but we'll be able, I think, to make this pretty easy and without very many hang-ups.
I guess kind of on a related matter, Tim, I'll ask you this question. I guess Morehead State's also looking at maybe starting a new marketing effort overall.
Well, I don't know that we're going to do anything. We are doing a new kind of branding. I know we had a company come in and looking at our branding and our phrases and maybe a description of who we are and what is so what stands out at Morehead State, what makes us unique. But in many of our in a lot of the marketing program we have for recruiting, we're just simply maybe fine-tuning or getting an earlier start. And this past year, we had a lot of changes to be made, both in staff and in the things that we could do and the markets that we were headed toward. And so we had a little bit of a late start, but we're going to have an earlier start. We'll fine-tune what we're doing. We'll look at the areas where we really need to focus. But along with the branding or, you know, the new phrase or the new, won't be any new logo changes or anything like that, but any phrases or descriptions of who we are, we'll be using those.
How important is it to do something, make some changes in this periodically?
Well, I mean, you always have to consider who you're recruiting and, you know, just like you use the latest technology, the things we used to use to attract students or to communicate with students doesn't work the same way. So just as you change technology, you sometimes have to move your marketing campaign to a more up-to-date a slogan or something that's a phrase that the students relate to, things that are important. I mean, there's sometimes, for instance, you might emphasize the safety of your campus, which we're the safest in Kentucky. You might emphasize the financial aid piece of it because of the economy. You may have to, in certain areas, where we recruit, we emphasize a program. There's areas of the country we go into that are really interested in vet tech, for instance. And so you have to constantly update or look at what is important in a certain area, even as much as you talk to parents about things that are different perhaps than what you talk to the students about. Students don't care so much about safety. Parents care about safety. Students they care about convenience and instant communication and those kinds of things. So it's just the way your market is and what their needs are. You speak to them like that.
I guess the one thing that's been a challenge here for, I guess, a number of years is the declining enrollment in some of our high schools in our service region because people have moved out of the area. Do you kind of change things up in the way you market to schools within the service region?
Yeah, we really had that has been a big, big challenge for us because the population is declining so much and taking students out of our service region. And so we don't abandon our service region. That's our priority, and it will remain our priority. And so we still go to every school. We still take the message of, you know, we care about you, and we'll give you personal attention. We're going to help you with financial aid. We have competitive scholarships and all those things. But then the reality is we must also go into other areas of Kentucky, northern Kentucky, for instance. We're getting more students out of southern Kentucky. And then we're looking, of course, we have a very competitive program in Ohio and other out-of-state areas. And you know, this year we'll be looking even at other places. We may end up going to Illinois. We may end up going to Virginia. So you're always looking at the market. You're always looking at the potential. You're always out there in competition for students.
I've heard that maybe there will be more of an effort when we get back to our service region schools and school districts to try to get more of the people from Morehead State that work here and are trying to recruit some of these students into the schools a little bit more to make more contact with some of the school officials to, again, let them know that Morehead State is their university. Anything to that?
Absolutely. We always maintain our relationships with the school officials. We go to we regularly meet with superintendents, principals, counselors, touch base with the people there. But we're making a stronger effort to find our alumni. The schools in our service region are filled with MSU alumni. Sometimes it's difficult to find them. When you make a visit, you go in and talk to students and then trying to find the alumni who are teaching and trying to find the time when you don't interrupt them and what they're doing. But it really is a helpful thing when we can identify alumni in the schools and get them to help us, or people, whether it's on campus or just in those communities, who are MSU alumni and who are willing to help us either deliver materials or go to events or just make them always aware of every student in their areas, potential MSU student, and just have them talking about it and wearing the MSU apparel and all of those things. Just always being aware of the recruiting that we do.
That's Morehead State's Interim Assistant Vice President for Enrollment Services, Tim Rhodes. That's all for today's Front Page. I'm Chuck Mraz. We'll see you next time.